The church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let the church say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let's give God a hand clap this morning. Amen. You know, I thank God for you all. Everybody looks so, what can I say, festive. With the pretty, so well, handsome for you, Pastor. But, the reason I like to do a hand clap to God is because some of us might have got up this morning, you know, getting in the church, doing our thing. God might have been on your heart, but when we come together with God, we want to make a noise for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We want to get God's attention. Amen. Yes. You know, so that God will look down on us, okay? Because sometimes the things that we've done in this past week created some a stench in God's nostril, amen? So we want to remove the stench out of God's nostril by giving him praise, and then we send up a sweet aroma, amen?
Amen.
And he looks at us as a rose, amen? God has beautifully and wonderfully made each and every one of us, amen? We're special to God, amen? You know, this is like a... Pastor had asked me to actually deliver the word last Sunday. And I had a message. Well, God had a message. Excuse me. Sorry about that, Lord. It's all God. Amen. And we're going to see and we're going to hear from God today. Amen. And that's what our prayer is going to be, that God navigates this service. Amen. The church is nothing without God. The pastor, forget about him without God. Today's message, futile without God. You can't serve the Lord without God. You can't even worship God without God. Because those that worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are the true worshipers that God is seeking. Amen. Today, so when Pastor asked me, can we switch? Brother, I wonder, do you mind switching and delivering the word today, July 1st, right? Preceding, you know, July 4th, right? So I'm like, okay, wow, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? You know, Lord, what do you have? What do you want to speak? You know, what do you want to minister to me to minister to the hearts of your people? I mean, it's like the 4th of July. But as we were in worship and praise today, you know, it was just, it's something that God tells me every so often. Every day is a holiday for God. Every day is a celebration for the Lord. Amen. Every day is God's day. This is the day what? That the Lord has made. The 4th of July is a day what? That the Lord has made. And we will rejoice. I don't care what the devil did to us this past week. We will rejoice today. Because it's the day that the Lord has made. This is why he gives us this, so we can receive joy. This is why he gives us this, that speaks to those situations that we went through this past week. Amen. And the reason I'm talking about that is because, boy, it's been quite a battle. Okay. It has been, for lack of a better word, entertaining. Okay. There's been, you know, struggles, and I'm sure that I echo some of your same sentiments about your past week. You know, anytime that you think about God and you give God glory and you want to live for the Lord, you want to get closer to God, you've just enlisted yourself in a war. Amen. But think it not strange when faced with those fiery trials, amen? It's to try you and it's to test you, but it's to build you up, amen? Houston had a Hurricane Harvey. So much water. Boy, I mean, we should still have some water out there, amen? But guess who brought us through? The test and the trial. We love God in this place. We love God in our homes. Amen.
Amen.
How can a God who's so far up there, I believe he's above the heavens. How can he be that far up and still be with you, standing right next to you? That's the diverse God that we serve. That's the supernatural God that we serve. That's the superlative God. That's the stupendous God. That's the immaculate God that we serve. All other gods are counterfeit. All other gods are mimics. All other gods are generic. We serve the one true living God that breathes life into us every morning. Amen. And the reason he breathes it into you, because he got a purpose for your life today. When you get up in the morning and he breathes life into you in the morning, that's because he got a purpose for your life today. You're special to God. So now we got to be make God special to us. And that's what we're going to do today. Every time we come here every Sunday, when Pastor brings those beautiful messages, it's to encourage us and to let us know that God thinks a lot of us. And he's making it about us. Why? Because when we show up together here, that means we're telling God we're making it about him. Amen. Amen. Before we open up in prayer, I just want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life. My pastor, Pastor Hatfield, his wife, our first lady, my lovely wife, Mary Catherine, and my brothers and sisters in Christ who I love. But I got something I want to say real quick. My two daughters are here. Amen. And one of them's kind of shy, so I'm finna tell you a quick story about that. She's 21. She's the youngest of my three daughters. My oldest daughter's in Chicago. My middle daughter, the college graduate, I'm bragging a little bit. Stand up, Christina and Melanie. Just stand up and just give away. That's Christina and that's Melanie. God bless you. I got reason to celebrate. Children are a blessing from God. He's just used you to bring them in. Amen. But then he wants you to submit them to him so he can raise them. Amen. When we submit our works, our hands, and this day, our lives, our homes, when we submit them to God, God takes them in take that thing in his hands. And I love saying this, and it might seem redundant, but I'm so sorry, because God wants us to know to submit all that you have to him. Amen. And when you get it in his hands, he does this thing to him. He enhances it. He hones what you give to him. Your children, your home, your job, your physique, your body, your mind. And when he returns it back to you, it's in a better state than when you gave it to him. Amen. I love God. And I know you do too. So let's open up in prayer and bring God here. He's already here. Beautiful praise and worship. Beautiful songs by a minister of music and our choir. Can I say choir or praise team? Good suggestion. The freedoms. The freedoms that we have in the United States, they're great. But it's because of the freedoms in Christ that I'm standing here today. Amen. It's the friend. This is a great country. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But we got our flaws. But guess what? This country only got better and it only ascended. It only flourished because guess what? Some of it was based on the principles of God. That's the only reason we're not communists. It's Jesus. It's the only reason. We're not all messed. We're not in a worse shape than what we are. I know we can find a lot of glitches in this country. But we're going to continue to go with God. They can do whatever they want. They can change, take the prayer out of school. They can let people have guns and make ways for them to do that. They can legalize marijuana. We don't care, because we got freedom in Christ, while the chains of the devil is still holding people down who thinking that they're free. They're in bondage. If you're not with God, you're in prison. God wants to free us today. Amen. And he found it, I don't know, found it in his heart to use somebody like me to preach or deliver his precious word. It's precious. The Holy Spirit of God is precious. We've taken advantage of it so much. I'm a living testimony of taking the gift of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for granted. But God said, guess what? Because of my son, because he died for those very things that you couldn't help yourself with. He died for those very things that you couldn't overcome. He died for those very things that keep you, that make you look, that's less than a human being, or the things that you've done that were just despicable, or the things that you had done that nobody else could do. But that's why Christ died. Not because you were so great. Not because you had a big fat bank account. Here's a little secret. That belongs to him too. So we're going to ask that God, because he's already equipped your heart. He's already prepared you for this morning. Amen. So now we're going to ask that God, just fill us up. Fill us up. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus this morning, humbly before the throne of God, in praise and in worship to honor God. Lord, we just want to give you thanks for your grace and your mercy. When Jesus came, that he brought grace and mercy with him, Lord God. Where will we be without God's grace? Thank you so much for the favor you have on this church. Thank you so much, Lord God, for each and every individual represented here today. Thank you for their hearts. Lord, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. Permeate our hearts this morning, Lord. Let it be soft soil that your word will be implanted in, Lord God. Make an impression on us, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that God will receive glory and honor for the use of his servant. Let it be words from heaven, God, not my own. I love when Christ says that. It's not the words of mine, but of my Father. And Lord, I just submit this service to you. I submit in Jesus' name, Lord God, your message back to you, Lord God, and that you would deliver it in our hearts and let it stick with us, Lord God. I rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name for trying to do anything to confuse your word, anything to contradict your word. Let our hearts know that it's the true words of God that will be spoken here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to God. And by the way, God wants to say, just like Brother Larry said when he gave that word, I know we don't like to think about it sometimes because we're very humble, but sometimes Jesus says, thank you. Thank you for being obedient to coming to church today. Amen. Thank you for being obedient from showing up to Bible study on Wednesday nights. You know, just a little act like that. Just because Jesus said, if you have faith is like big as a mustard seed. So just think if you obey one little unction from God to go to church. You know, you didn't really want to go, but, you know, maybe your sister said or your dad said, why don't you come go to church with us today? And you didn't want to go, but you got up. Amen. A little act like that can start something big with God. Because look at the alternative. When you tell mom, no, I ain't going this time, I ain't going, and it's five Sundays in a row, I ain't going, you're missing out. One act of obedience to God and his Holy Spirit could make the difference in your life. It did for me. Because I kept playing around, I didn't obey that unction. I didn't obey what I know was touching my spirit. But I said, no, I'll do it later, God. But I'm here to tell you what God told me to tell you. And it's for somebody today. Quit letting the devil make you think that you got plenty of time to go to God. That's not threatening. That's not scary. Quit letting the devil trick you into believing that you got plenty of time to restore your relationship with God. Jesus already done it for you. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm ready to recommit. I messed up. I repent. I was 48 years old when I recommitted to God. Don't wait that long. 20-some years, I was saved. In and out of God. But God was there all the time watching the whole process. He didn't dislike me. He didn't mock me. But the devil was right in God's face. Look at him. Look at him. He going to church. Look at him. And he can't get his life together. Look at him. He's doing. Look at him. And my Lord and Savior was sitting right there with God saying, I got him, Father. Thank God for Jesus that God put me in his hands. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. That's the reason we have the freedom to come to church. Amen. That's the reason that we can go from season to season. That's the reason we can plan for Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's because of God. He don't want to put the turkeys on the table. But I know I'm not finna get into my Thanksgiving message. Sorry about that. God give me so much, you know. I it's too much for me, you know. That's why I need God. He's the God of order. Amen. He puts everything in order. I got messages that my beautiful wife, she's so talented. She does the final manuscripts for me, for the messages that God gives me. And they also fitting to when, you know, I'm prepared. It's God doing it. It's his doing. He decided to do it. I wasn't sitting there going, I think I want to do this. I want to. No, God was like throwing some on my spirit. Oh. So guess what he threw on me one day? The name of this message. He got the job. Amen. He got the job. You know how, my daughter, she's like coming to stay with me and she's like relocating. And I already envision her getting her first job here in Houston. And, you know, we're going to rejoice, right? Oh, she got the job. That's the way we should feel about Christ. He got the job. And we're going to get into what all that means. Amen. I thank my God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today for knowing what mankind needed and then providing it. God knew thousands of years ago we would need someone to take on a huge responsibility in our stead. Amen. We needed somebody to fight for us. Amen. We needed somebody to help us get to God one day. Amen. We needed somebody to help us get to God today. This morning, we needed somebody, a go-between. Somebody that will take the job. So that we will be provided for and cared for. Just like in our everyday lives, we have to provide for our families the necessary provisions to maintain somewhat of a normal life. You with me? That's where Jesus comes in. We needed someone to take the job, gaining us entrance into heaven. Amen. He got the job. Amen. Thank God that Jesus, who was the only one qualified for the job, actually took the job. Amen. You know, sometimes we can be qualified for a job, but we're so haughty. I don't want that job. I don't want that job. I'll take that job. He was qualified for the job and he took the job. Our Father God was only going to offer the job to the most suitable candidate. Someone who God knew would have a passion for the job and love for the job. Sometimes we ourselves are qualified for a job that's offered to us, justifying reasons for not taking the job. And some of the reasons could be legitimate. It could be a conflict in our schedule with our home responsibilities, an undesirable pay scale, too far to travel to the job, the benefit package isn't favorable for our particular family. Benefits, we got to have our benefits, you know. Or just not sure we want to be stuck doing this job for the rest of our lives. And for an employer, we're not too fond of anyway. These and many other reasons, I thank God that this divine occupation was only offered to one candidate. Amen. Yeah. We need to be thanking God that it was only one candidate. And you'll see why as we further dip into this word. Why we are so appreciative of Christ for taking the job. He took a job that didn't, we're talking about Christ. He took a job that didn't conflict with his schedule or his responsibilities. He took a job where he didn't contemplate the financial advantages since it belonged to him anyway. Amen. He took a job where his pay would be more than money could buy. A job where he traveled the distance from heaven to earth, where his frequent flyer miles was off the charts.
Amen.
He took a job where he would be constantly traveling. And a job We don't really think like this. But Christ took this job to primarily please his employer.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes we don't give a hoot how to employ how our boss feel, especially after we get to knowing this guy. You know what I mean? Then we try to think of ways that maybe, I don't know, maybe his car might can veer off to the right somewhere. You know. Just saying. All right. He took a job to please his employer that he loves working for. Amen. This is what Christ is getting us to. We want to be in a position. We want God to develop in us a zeal to please God. Amen. Put the hunger down in us, God. See, people think sometimes the hunger sometimes just shows up. Sometimes you got to ask for the hunger. Amen. Sometimes you got to say, Lord, make me want you more. Amen. Like, you know, because, somewhere in my flesh, the family that I grew up in or whatever, I'm caught up in my old ways. You got to ask God for the new. Amen. Just like you got to ask Christ to come into your heart. He's ready to do it. But if you don't ask him, he's going to just stand right there. That don't make him bad. That don't make him any less loving. But he would like to be loved. Amen. God would like to be loved just like we do. God would like to be appreciated just like we do. And God wants us to know he took the job out from the bottom of his heart. Amen. Jesus took the job from everything that was in him. And he took it for a people that some people didn't even care about him. And he took the job. You know, in our world today, when you are employed by your natural father, like your dad employs you, everybody says that's how you got the job, because of your daddy. You got a job because of your daddy, you know. Or you didn't have to work for it. Your daddy owned the company, you know, whatever. However, even though your dad and your friends think you should have the job, your father still has to believe you're qualified. He just can't give you the job at the expense of the company, negating the objective. So the father is going to make sure you're trained and equipped to meet the desired goal from which the job entails. Amen. Are you with me? Then, once the father discloses what this job consists of, he then wants to know if his son still wants the job. You know, sometimes when we get a job description of a job, You know, we passed the interview. Yeah, I want the job. They give me a call, but then they start telling me some other little details about the job. Then we go, can I get back with you on that? I didn't know it was all that. You know, I only read that it was this. That's what happens when we go to buy cars and go to buy homes. Yep. Oh, yes, you can get the car. Come right here. Have a seat inside of it. Yes, you can get the car. Here's the key. Start it up. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, what you think, honey? Oh, that's great. I love the color, everything. But when they pull you into the office, they even got the special seating. No, let her sit right here. You sit right here. It's crazy, man. Because they know who they're going to target. Amen. So you go in with God. Amen. Go buy your car with the Lord. Lord, direct me to the right people, the right car dealership. Ask God for whatever you need him to do. Every facet of your life. You know what I do? People, my family and people that come over my house, do you know they think I can cook? But then I have to be honest. I cheat a little bit. I pray. Amen. Lord, let this meal be refreshing. Cleanse it. Lord, let them bring joy when they take a bite of this chicken. And let them be pleased by God. And next thing you know, somebody, my wife, this was delicious. And in the back of my mind, I'd be like, thank you, Lord. Nothing, nothing that you involved in or engage in is too small for prayer. I don't care what it is. Even when my daughter said she was come, she wanted to know if I, you know, to come, if she can come stay with me. I just prayed that when I said yes, I just prayed that Lord that her the Spirit of God would fill my home, and that. Not only just my daughter, but anybody that comes to my door, the guy that comes to drop the newspaper off, let the Spirit of God touch him. Now, once a father discloses what this job consists of, and then he wants to know if the son will still take the job, some jobs out there in the world are very tough jobs that a lot of people won't do. Y'all know that, you know some jobs like that, that you won't do. Amen. I know some jobs I won't do, and I need the money. But I need God more. Some jobs don't come with glamour. Now think about Jesus as I say this next statement. Some jobs don't come with glamour, fanfare, accolades. Some jobs people don't even consider because they're too dangerous and could cost you your life. So glory be to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have reason to shout praises to our God and our Lord and Savior. I want us to turn to Hebrews right quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We got a few scriptures we're going to go through. Well, one passage of scripture, we're just going to stay in Matthew, and God's going to bless us. But I want you to just, I want to look at this and get this in your spirit. This is a fundamental scripture. We all know it. A lot of us, you know, biblical, what do I want to say, pundits. A lot of us biblical learned people. We know this scripture, but let's look at this. Hebrews 12:2. Thank you, Sister Vivian. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, think about the job. The job was set before him. Amen. The details of the job was set before God. Right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Vivian. Very few people, if any, would have found joy in being hung on a cross for someone they wasn't even sure even knew them. I don't know anybody who would take a job knowing that beforehand it would cost them their life. How many times did the religious leaders and the Pharisees and Sadducees try to accost him, but it wasn't time? Because this guy knew he was going to die. That was his job. He took the job. I mean, I'm not to look at it like a job, but this is just for the sake of just metaphors. That's how Christ talks to us a lot of time and ministers to us. In analogies. In metaphors. In symbols. Because he wants to simplify this thing for us so that we can, you know, it can register and we can deduct it and we go, you know what? I understand. I'll do that. He's trying to simplify it for us so it can get beyond the flesh. Get you out of thinking like that and think the way he thinks. Think spiritually. That's why it's simplified. That's spiritually discerned. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's simplified to get beyond your flesh. Because your flesh don't understand spiritual things. Your flesh don't want to be bothered with spiritual things. You know, it scared me. It's a verse in the Bible that says, the flesh is enmity with God. So you mean to tell me that this case that I'm walking around in is an enemy of the Most High God, the one I'm trying to talk to, the one I'm trying to reach, the one I'm trying to love, the one I'm trying to obey. You mean to tell me that this what I'm encased in is opposite of him? That's why we need God. That's why we needed the Lord God Jesus. That's why I'm glad he took the job. Amen. I jump up and down when I think about God took the job. Jesus took the job. I love how God shows his love, sacrificing his son. And I thank God that he only offered the job to Jesus, because you'll see why what I mean in a few minutes. OK, praise the Lord. As much as we would want to please our natural father who might get might own a business or even just had a job where he could take us with him. As much as we might want to please our father, the employer, if it's a job that we know entails some danger or you can lose your life, as much as we want to please our father, we would undoubtedly tell our dads to take this job and shove it. No, thank you, Dad. I love you, but I'll see you later. This is not my line of work. Amen. But the God of Israel loves us so much that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:8, and you can read it with me. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, while we were still saying, no, I don't want God right now, while we were still saying, abusing our wives, while we were still abusing our husbands, while we were still demeaning the gospel of God, he still died for that reason, that you could have life. Amen. That's amazing. Only God can demonstrate love for someone who defies his commands. Only God would do that. God never intended for us to be out of communion with him. God knew that this job had to go to someone who wouldn't quit on the job or walk off the job. Amen. Amen. He wouldn't quit. God gave the job to somebody he knew wouldn't give up. When the tough get going and the going get tough, as we used to say back in the 70s. I forgot I was born in the 60s. I was going to say 60s, but I didn't know what the heck was going on at that time. This job had to go to someone devoted to the advancement of the institution, and that this person would be the perfect example of what God desires out of his chosen. This is who this candidate had to be. Somebody that loved who God gave to. Somebody that loved you. That's who the job had to go to. Somebody that was passionate about you. That's who the job had to go to. Somebody that wanted you to be in eternal heaven. That's who the job had to go to. It couldn't go to nobody else. People like his son. That's who the job had to go to. The advocate. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. This is beautiful. I love this scripture. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Oh, because I want us to get this one. I want us to get all of them, as a matter of fact. All of them. All the words of God are glorious and beautiful. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Amen. Who you know that devoted to their job? His purpose, man, he went all the way. He sits right there with the employer in your stead 24 hours a day. You know, they say God never sleeps nor slumbers, but never does his son. Never does the Holy Ghost. All three of them never sleep or slumber. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. That this guy who came down in the flesh, who walked among us, kind of, they say, kind of look like us or whatever. They all kind of pictures that they got of Jesus. But this guy walked around, came down for our example, showed us that we can have peace in the midst of a wicked world, showed us that we can overcome the things that are coming against you. He's seen it. He's seen it all. We don't have such a high priest that don't sympathize with our weaknesses, but at all points was tempted, just as you are, but without sin. He embraced dying for you. He embraced it. You know, I love a lot of people. I was really in love with, you know, like, maybe my former wife or whatever. I really love my wife. I love everybody. But if I kind of know already that I got to die, you know, like, for, you know, don't tell me ahead of time. Let it just happen. This guy stuck with it. Amen. That's love beyond understanding, because that's a peace that surpasses all understanding. He was at peace. He was at peace for you. Died to die for you. He already knew. He knew 5,000 years ago he's going to have to die for you. Amen. If I know 5 minutes that I got to die before I got to die for you, I'm going to be a little shook up. I might run. There you go. Just kidding. I would. A friend is one who will lay down his life for, you know, his brother. And, you know, only God can get us through that. Only the Spirit of the Lord. I'm just keeping it. I'm keeping it Jesus right now. Okay, only God told me to keep it. You know, he said, instead of the people saying keep it real, tell them to keep it Jesus. Amen. Keep it Jesus. And when you keep it Jesus, that means, you know what? I don't know if I'll do that. I don't know if I'll die. You know, just lay down my life. You know, I don't know if I'll do it. But through Jesus, I can do all things. If it's going to please God, then guess what? God's going to equip you to die for a situation. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I mean, this is an example of the, Jesus was the example of the quintessential employee. Employers would love to have an employee like Jesus, okay? Sorry, bosses, there's only one God. But on the flip side of this is that I'm sure there are a lot of people who love their jobs to death. I'm sure there are people who love their jobs to death. However, they don't really mean it to that extreme. Amen. That's why they call a phrase like that hyperboles. Hyperboles are exaggerated statements. I love my job to death. You don't really mean that. Amen. Now, the soldiers and people in the military, I commend you. You got a lot to do with these freedoms that we're talking about that's coming up Wednesday. Can we give them a hand clap today? If you came out of a situation like that in the military, it was God. Because he had a purpose for your life. And those that gave their life, that was God. They died for the cause. We say the cause of this country. But guess what? The Lord said, I'm bringing you home. Amen. Amen. Death is not so bad. It's just a transition. Some of us can remember before we gave our lives to God, we were dead when we was walking around dead like this. No purpose. No value. No love. But when we said yes to God, now we walk around like this with confidence. We boast in our chains. Like Paul said, I'm bound up. I'm imprisoned by God. I'm not imprisoned by this world no more. Amen. I'm a bondservant of the Most High God. We all are. We all are. You don't need a title to serve the Lord. You don't need a title to bless the church. Employers know that they can't attract you if they can't provide you with safeguards against the dangers of a particular job. But to know that we have someone on a daily basis whose continuous job is to go on our behalf to the owner of all things is just a blessing. It's a gift. It is a gift on a daily basis. Sometimes we get to work, man, we don't feel it. Sometimes we get to work... We'll tell our coworker, look, I know I'm here for 8 hours, but they ain't getting number two out of me. Okay, I'm guilty. Okay, yeah, I said that before. But we don't have to be concerned about worshiping a king, a true king, who I'm telling you right now today, 24 hours a day, he loves the job that he is doing on our behalf. He sees our mistakes. He sees our lack of passion, our lack of worship. He sees it. He sees some of the doubt. He sees it. But the minute you open up your heart, if you even don't say anything, but the minute you open up your heart and say, Lord, I'm so tired. Things ain't going right. I need your help. The minute you do that, he go right to the Father. There it is. I got to address Brother Larry. Father, I got to address Sister Dawn. Father, I got to address Sister Courtney. Father, I got to address Brother Melky. Father, they calling us. God loves to hear his people call to him. He loves when you, somebody said today, I think I don't know Brother Larry, somebody, but I think we were in Sunday school. God loves when we petition him. God loves when we get his attention, amen, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Because we got his attention when we was in sin so much. We had his attention then. He was just waiting on you to be tired. To be tired. Get tired. We was waiting on you to wear down where your heart couldn't take it no more. forget about your body, but when your heart get tired, it's like your mind get tired. That's when you're like, you know what? I'm tired for real. I need your help. This world is bigger than us. This devil, his constant job is to, just to desecrate, destroy you. But he can't be every place at one time like the omnipresent God. Amen. He can't be every place. He don't have all the power like the omnipotent God. Amen. He don't have it all. Like God got to get control of everything. He got control of the devil. Amen. That was for somebody. Even though God did this with his son, this sacrifice, giving, turn this job over to him, and it's a supernatural endeavor, he still did this for people that aren't always spiritually obedient. A people that God probably wouldn't even consider if it wasn't for his son taking the job. Amen. God wouldn't even look your way if Jesus wouldn't have took this job. Amen. Again, this is just being, it's metaphorically speaking and those kinds of things, using the word job and him taking the job. This was all ordained by God anyway. But God just wanted to give it in a message like this, in this type of text, amen, where we can almost kind of like visualize what God really did. Visualize what happened in the heavens, amen, for you. Jesus did this for a people that couldn't even have interviewed for the job as perfectly as his son did. Now, this interview was dropped on my spirit by the Holy Ghost of God. And maybe the Lord gives his other servants other examples of this interview. But God gave me this one. Let's turn to Matthew chapter four. Verses 1 through 10. And we're trying to get through this interview. Now, we still are metaphorically speaking, kind of, right? But it's spiritually discerned. Remember that. God dropped on my spirit that this passage of scripture was like an interview. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Thank you, sister. I'll stop right there. You know, that sounds like what happens in our lives. You know, our Father God, he gets us the interview. You know, when we pray for a job or, get me to interview, Lord. We do just like Jesus did. You know, I know I do it. I go to fasting and praying to enhance my chances. Jesus did what he had to do to this point to show his Father, his God, his master that he wants the job. Jesus gave up his spirit. Jesus gave up his whatever carnality it was that it might have existed by coming down here. Jesus gave all that up to show his God that he wanted the job. He fasted and he prayed on our behalf. Amen. Are we getting this? Verse 3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. This is the interview. And it's just like the devil to tempt us with things that he thinks would please our flesh. The enemy, the devil, should be glad that our God even allowed him to conduct the interview. Amen. He should be glad that he was the recruiter. Okay? He should be glad. That's why a lot of people on the jobs that we're on, they got positions. Or they're the difference between you getting paid or getting certain hours, or you're not getting paid or not getting certain hours. They should be glad that God put them in that position. God puts us in positions really to help somebody else. not to control them. God gave put man and woman together, not so they control, so they can control one another. God didn't give the wife a husband so he can control her. God didn't give the wife a husband so he can control her, or the husband a wife so she can control him. God put us here for each other. Amen. God put us here for each other. Right, Elder Brown? Amen. God put us here for each other, to love one another. Right, Sister Audrey? To love one another. Not to look bigger than the other. If anything, come under your neighbor. Humble yourself under them. Esteem your neighbor above you. Amen. What's wrong with that? Make someone who isn't so glamorous and so beautiful, make them feel like they are beautiful and gifted. Amen. That can go a long way with your relationship with God. How you treat other people. Amen. We're going to do a couple more verses, then I'm going to close. I kind of knew the Holy Spirit wasn't going to let me get through this whole thing. Amen. Glory be to God. And it's just like the devil to tempt us with things that he, you know, think would please our flesh, because he offered some bread and stuff to Jesus. The enemy should be glad that our Father, you know, even allowed him to conduct the interview, because the devil knew our God. Get this. The devil knew that our God wouldn't give him the job because his heart was in the wrong place. Did you get that? This job is offered to those who are mindful of God's children and want to show God love at the same time. You, on your job, you can work until the Lord please him and please your boss. You could do them both. But I suggest that you do the former and then the latter will come. The enemy of Jesus and his followers would never die so someone else could live. That's why the devil didn't get the job. Because he would never die for you. He's trying to kill you. He can't be dead and you ain't dead. He wants to be God in your life. But God loves you so much, he said, no, they're mine. Amen. They're mine. I love that scripture that, you know, we love God, but I'm paraphrasing. It almost seemed like it's saying, you know, yeah, we love God, but don't, but remember something. God first loved us.
1 John chapter 5, I believe it's 14.
Well, God bless your sweetheart, Sister Bell. And Sister Bell got the word in her. Amen. Verse 4, Matthew 4, 4, and we'll close with this one. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Oh, no, let me finish this page. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sister Vivian. It's the word of God that gives us life, and that through Christ. That's where your life comes from. God put together man and woman and produced you, right? But it's the word of God that gives you life, amen. It's the word of God that's going to put you at sitting at the right hand of God. That's what's going to get you there. The word of God is going to get you to heaven, amen. It's living and it's powerful. Put up verse 5 for me, Miss Vivian. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, in verse 6, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thank you, Sister Vivian. Here is another area where Satan shows how dumb he is. and how dumb he can be. How can you throw the word at the word? Do you get that? How can you throw the word of God at the word? He already knew your heart. He already knew you was going to say it like that. He knew you was going to try to change it around. Remember, Satan was with God. They know how he think. He wasn't qualified for the job. Can we give God a hand clap for him not being qualified? I thank God he wasn't qualified. Amen. What if he'd have qualified for the job? Oh, my goodness. We'd be hating one another. We'd be starving and hungry. Half of us would be dead. That's why we love God so much. That's why we love Jesus the way we do. For what they, how they collaborated. Amen. How God said, I'm going to send my son. And how Jesus said, send me. I'm going. While we were still down here acting a fool, he still came. Amen. That made me want to jump up sometime. Amen. And why would the devil keep asking God, asking Jesus, if you are the Son of God? Why do you keep asking him that? You know, that's stupid. He is the Son of God, and you know he is. You hate that he's the Son of God because you was right there with them. Well, it's because he is the Son of God. He stands on God's words and promises, and he doesn't fall for the temporal pleasures. Jesus knew and wants us to know that our treasures are in heaven eternal. So we should not trade our inherited salvation for some right now secular pleasures. Amen. The generic riches and the generic freedoms of this life, it pales in comparison to the true riches and freedoms in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you right now, you're wealthy. Amen. As long as you keep pointing your heart towards God. Oh, thank God for the country you live in, but thank God for the country you live in. Did you get that? Let's give God a hand praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you all. I love you. Go with God. No concern is too small to pray about. I had to learn that because that can make the difference from a big fall for you. Or that can make a difference for ascension. Because he promised to mount us up on wings as eagles. But you got to wait on the Lord. Let God put patience down in you this morning. It's God's fruits that makes you great. Because in those fruits is humility. In those fruits is submission. In those fruits is obedience. Amen. And with all that come rewards. You don't have to look for them. Just look for God. Don't look for the rewards. Look for God. You'll start laying it out, the mysteries. But it's not going to be things so much. It's going to be spiritual things that make you a better person. That's what God's concerned about. Not about how this house he's going to get you. Not about how the you know how many vehicles he's going to put in your garage. Not about how big your TV screen going to be. But how big of a servant you're going to be. You don't even look at yourself as a servant. I'm here to tell you, you are one. Thank you all. God bless you. I love you. Can I say a closing prayer, Pastor? Lord, Father God, we thank you. We come in the name of Jesus humbly before you this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. What a good time we've had in God. Thank you so much, Lord, for your presence, God. Thank you so much, Lord, for your spirit, God. Thank you so much, God, for the indescribable gift of our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the holy carpenter. Thank you for our potentate, the governor of our spirits, the authority of our souls. We thank you so much for him, God. So as we leave this place today, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will bless each and every household represented in each seat in this sanctuary, Lord God. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.